live, Mr. Reed, at the Darlington Business Club.
How many podcasts have we done this week?
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether we stick an episode number on this one particular, because we're
episode
going...
part three, section two.
Dot A.
Dot A.
Today, we are going to be speed podcasting.
Speed date podcasting. Speed no, married, thank
podcasting.
You.
Do you want to pop the other microphones down while we're waiting for people to join us? There we go. It's very live and uncut today. So today we are at the Darlington Business Club over at the Great North Air Ambulance Service facilities. By the way, how nice is it here?
Oh, it's fantastic. Honestly, the room is amazing. The facilities are amazing. We've just spoken to a lovely lady, Vicky. She's amazing.
She is, yeah.
Honestly,
we are going to be sharing some information, and we've actually spoken to Vicky from the Great North Air Ambulance to shed some light on what they're doing here.
Yeah.
38 call-outs on average a week.
That
how
is
incredible is that?
Stuff.
Unreal.
And what was the biggest thing we took away from it, my friend?
Revolving door. Sorry,
I
it was a helicopter themed door.
You were going to say that.
No, it's
a
not
bit about them being non funded.
Oh, yeah, they're not funded. Yeah,
they're
that is much more important than the revolving door.
Although the revolving door that now I'm thinking is like a helicopter.
It is like a helicopter. I was like, this is very on brand. But yes, they are not funded. Absolute charity. And I'm reading the banner over your shoulder. £8.5 million
really
a year.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Incredible
three helicopters,
stuff.
One's a reserve helicopter. So
parked in Vicky's back garden.
Yeah, apparently so.
Apparently
so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be inviting people in and they're going to join us and we're going to be going for about 4 minutes at a time per person because we've actually got some interest and we are ready to start receiving people.
Absolutely.
How long have you been at Darlington Business Club while we're on, Andy?
27.35 years.
You have not, he's lying.
He's lying.
Oh, we've got our first visitor. Person. Could we put volume blue up, please?
Oh,
there we go. Right, so here's your microphone. What we're going to do is run a timer for about 4 minutes because obviously we want to filter people through. So to begin with, please tell us who you are, where you're from, what do you do, what's your name and where do you come from?
Hi, I'm Kerry. So I am the Events and Corporate Partnership Manager at Daisy Chain.
Fantastic.
So Daisy Chain is an autism and neurodiversity charity in Stockton.
Yep.
But we cover the whole of the North East. So we've opened hubs in Gateshead and Sunderland, as well as opening a massive retail store up at Teen Valley, which is 23,000 square feet.
Oh, my goodness me. That's fine.
Well, it's fantastic to meet you, because I've seen Daisy Chain's social media. So good work, first of all.
Something's working
there. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely, 100%. So well done. So what sort of, you know, just go into a little bit more, what sort of things are you helping people with and supporting people with?
So autism neurodiversity especially is a huge umbrella. It covers a lot of particular things. So it can cover dyspraxia, dyslexia, fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah.
It is a wide umbrella of a wide range of things, but kind of supporting them can be challenging. Everyone has individual needs. Everyone is individual when it comes to neurodiversity and autism. And we support them in as many ways as we can. So we used to just be a children's charity, but recently we've been looking at supporting adults as well.
Okay.
We've been going 21 years, so our children are now adults. And
of course. That doesn't go away, does it?
No.
So growing with the children, young people.
Exactly.
Eh? There you go.
Fantastic. We support with kind of housing advice, benefits advice. We support with employment, employability, which we're just restructuring at the moment. But we also go into businesses around the area with training. Which helps support people both in their business who are neurodiverse but might be looking to get
also accommodate people who may be neurodiverse.
So little changes, we're quite archaic in how we do interview processes, but things like not looking somebody in the eye or not shaking the hand, you might feel like somebody's not engaged, whereas they're just neurodiverse.
Yep.
So you could be missing out on real talent for little reasons. So if we can kind of raise the awareness, we can get more people into work, because out of all the disabilities, neurodiversity are the least likely to get a job.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Autism is actually very close to my heart. My cousin is Anna Kennedy.
Oh, yes.
And she works...
She's an ambassador for us.
Husband and to Angelo and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I remember, very quick story, it was literally what you just said, Cara. It was like, I looked him in the eye and, you know, it's like, no, don't do that, you know, stuff like that. But you learn, and because he's my cousin, very close to my heart. But what a great thing. Honestly, I can't thank you enough for the work you do. And honestly, Anna's fabulous.
Amazing, yeah. And there's a lot of things where we want to support more people. We want to do as much as we can. But obviously, that requires funding, which is where I come in.
Of course.
Yeah,
so whether it's kind of volunteering on our farm or coming to our events or, you know, we even have our new thread project.
Yep.
I don't know if you've heard about that.
So tell us quickly about that.
We get 2,000 bags of donations per week that are textiles, and about a third of it are unusable.
Okay.
Or unsellable.
Yep.
So we changed them into high fashion items, and we recently just came back from London Fashion Week where we had this on schedule show at London Fashion Week in Soho.
That is fabulous. So we're doing very sorry because it's very little time, but how can people get in touch with you and contact you?
Just get in touch with us on our website. We've got loads of events going on, including our ball on the 5th of July at Teesside Airport, which is a getaway ball. And it's going to be like unlike anything anyone's ever been to
before. So go for a ball, end up in Spain.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Depends on what you drink.
Yeah. Fantastic.
But yeah, right. Thank you.
Wow, so good to have you on. Thank you for joining us. Whistle Stop to Daisy Chain. Yep. Make sure you check them out. So nice to meet you. Thank you very much.
Lovely to meet you too.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Andy. So what do we think of that? Oh, what? Look at this service. Thank you, Michelle Reed.
Not a problem.
So nice to meet you. Thank you for your time. So I've just been given water by Michelle Reed. Are you joining us, Michelle? Michelle is joining us. Which microphone are we going on? Red microphone, please. Red microphone. Please, can we put the red microphone up?
I'm going to be quiet now.
Right. This is, for those of you that listen to Tech A Break or watch it, this is the world famous Michelle Reed, the one that keeps this chap to my right accountable.
Yes.
And in line. And he's the noisiest worker in the office, and Michelle has said so herself.
Yep.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right, Michelle,
she told me to say that.
Who you are, what you do. We've got 4 minutes on the clock. Off we go.
Okay, well, I'm Michelle Reed from Resilient Business Systems. I, for my sins, am married to Andrew.
Lucky you.
Yes, it's
absolutely lucky. Come on.
I must honestly say, people ask how we manage to work together. And yep. You know what? Fairly easily. We're just about slightly opposite.
Yep.
In the, you know, he likes to be cheerful on a morning.
Yeah.
Happy from 5 o'clock in the morning. Singing loudly. Whereas I need about 6 coffees, so yeah. I'm more an afternoon person.
I normally wait to see you at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon going, yeah. There's a good chance this will be a yes.
Yeah, you get a grunt before that. I'm not very pleasant on a morning. So we work really well together. Yeah. So Andy does the IT side.
Yep.
I do the admin, paperwork.
Keeping him on track.
Payroll. Yeah,
you do keep them on track.
Oh, absolutely.
On
track.
Nagging, yep. It's called. It would have been nagging.
Nagging with love.
Yes. Nagging with love. So he has nagging at home. Nagging in the office.
Yep.
In fact, that is my title. I am Queen Nagger.
Queen Nagger.
Yeah, that's about right.
Michelle actually adds some nice flair to the office, I think. Some of the signs that you've had. The cups. What's the, Her Majesty.
Yes, Her Majesty in Residence. Yes.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes, well, that was my nickname that my family gave me when I was a young girl. I was always Queen.
Well, there you
our
go.
Queen. So I rule the office as the reigning monarch.
Yep.
And what I say goes, basically.
Absolutely, 100%. So Michelle also supports a lot of web work as well.
Yes.
As well as doing all the admin side, but you do a huge amount with IT. In fact, the other day when I came up to see you were on a call, it was when I was pinching all of your components.
Again.
That we were talking about. Michelle was straight in there. Here we are, look at all these sticks of memory. And she was dealing them out like chips.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Anything at all, we've got it. But no, for us, we try to be jargon free. And how I've helped with that is I'm a user that Andy's taught to do more than just basic IT. So it allows me to be able to explain to the end user what he's talking about when they start to glaze over. You know when your eyes go a bit fuzzy because you think he's off on one? I get to explain to them what they mean. Yes, yes. Yeah. It's literally they look to me and I go, what he means is plug A into B.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what I said.
Yeah, no, you were like, align the port.
Align the USB-C port and plug it into the female jack version on the laptop. Plug A into B.
Exactly.
So that's how it works.
Yeah, you also run the IT help desk as well, don't you? You cover the IT help desk as well.
It's quite good. So on our website that you very nicely upgraded for us recently.
It's live.
It's beautiful. There's a picture of me with a headset on. And it's something I've always said to customers, especially when we're talking about websites. It's me. I do the help desk. It's me with the headset. It's my picture because it allows your customers to relate to you, even if they've not actually met you.
Yep.
They can see your face. They know it's you. So though I don't like to have my picture taken, my picture's up there to show how gorgeous I look in a headset.
You do absolutely look fantastic.
But it's perfect, and that's what we push for. You know, easy to contact, we're easy to work with, and we're just here for everyone.
Yeah, so give me a sample. You know, you don't just work with big companies, you work with companies of all shapes, sizes. Obviously, Resilient Work, myself, have said this before on the podcast, and we know, obviously, me and Andy work together on outside of the podcast and stuff like that, but you work with all kinds of companies, don't you, all sizes?
Yes, definitely. We've got quite a few now in Business Central, where our office is based. We just signed up another couple of customers there. So they range from...
remember Andy... from yes. Trident Manor
from last yeah. week.
Yeah. Whenever this episode comes out, the episode the other week.
Out, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 35, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
He signed up with his name.
Oh well, there you go. Fantastic. Yes.
So we have like the 1 or 2 man bands up to you can have like 10 or 12 in the offices, but then we've got customers with 40 to 50 users.
Yeah.
We've got customers from as far as Aberdeen and down south. In South Downs, I think is the lowest we go.
Down south, South Downs.
Yes, down south in South Downs. So yeah, so we cover the country as well.
And Berlin now. Lane 7 of Auckland.
Yes.
Offices.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Berlin
so
as well.
Going over there next, hopefully.
Well, that is the 4 minutes. If anyone wants to know about Resilient Business Systems, they need to go to resilientsystems.co.uk. Is that correct? Have I got that right? Straight
that's
off
correct.
The top of my hat.
Yes.
There we go.
You did our website.
There
you
we
know.
Go. I'm hoping I get it right. I did it. But yeah, absolute pleasure to have you on, Michelle. Thank you so much. And we're going to get Michelle on, I think, in a future episode to just wind you up.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. The problem is, I like to talk. I don't shut up.
I've never
often.
Noticed.
So Andy
noticed I've been
is,
quiet.
Yes, Andy's unsure whether I'll take over the podcast,
as
which
usual.
I probably will.
Yeah, we'll get your picture up there as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Michelle. Thank you so much.
No problem. I shall go and find somebody else.
Yeah, please.
I'll
see somebody over.
Thanks very much.
So there's a couple of things that I want to reflect on there, Andy. Is Daisy Chain first and foremost?
Yeah, fabulous work.
Starts as like. We do X, Y, and Z, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, we're helping people into employment, we're helping employers understand how to work with, you know, support new people in neurodiversity. The level of stuff that's going on, and again, like you say, we're Great North Air Ambulance Day, and there's another charity.
Oh, it's phenomenal, you know, and I think what's really nice about what Cara said is that not only are they supporting the children, they're growing up with the children, and then supporting them into work and making sure their life's okay. I mean, fabulous, fabulous work. And it was really nice that she knew.
We have another visitor. Hello there. How are you doing? Please come and sit down.
Gemma's
we've got
over.
Two coming, so we need both mics, up, please, on that side. Just slide forward for me. We'll wait for your colleague. I'm reading Simfly.
Yes.
I am intrigued. Right.
Simfly.
Please move yourself forward. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're given 4 minutes to kind of get a quick flavour of what it's all about. So please, very quickly, introduce yourselves. And tell us what you do, what it's all about.
Absolutely fine. And my name is Stuart Ellerton. I'm the director of Simfly Aviation Training in Darlington. And
I am Gemma McCready, and I am head of the cabin crew training at Simfly.
And together we bring an aviation experience, a totally unique aviation experience and training to Darlington. It's never been done before. So what we've tried to do is marry up two elements of the business. The first element of the business is the actual airport check-in lounge.
Yep.
So when you walk into the business, you have your boarding card ready. We take you through security. We check you in.
I love
so
that.
It's that neuro-linguistic kind of atmosphere that when you walk into an airport, and particularly those who've never been to an airport before, it gives them a taste of what it's like, what it feels like to be in an airport, the hustle and bustle, the sound, the announcements, the check-in, the security, that kind of thing. So we work closely with schools and colleges who do travel and tourism in amongst their curriculum. We bus in kids from the Tees Valley region, from comprehensive schools right through to university level.
Yep.
And they come and do customer training with us in our travel agents that we've got there as well.
Great.
Oh, wow.
So we've got the travel agents, we've got the check-in, and we've got the border force security. And then next door, the second room, is just like boarding an aircraft. It's an 18-seater cabin, seats out of a Boeing 737, and a fully functioning Boeing 737 flight simulator. So I'm in charge of the flight crew training, and we take kids flying around the region or off abroad here and there, show them how to turn left, turn right, go down, go up, that kind of thing, power, flaps, all the knobs and buttons and switches above your head, and give them a basic navigation around the 737 cockpit. While Gemma...
Yeah, I do all of the cabin crew training, and I work a lot in the lounge area. So when we have schools and colleges coming down, they're basically using us to learn how to communicate post-COVID. Schools and colleges are really struggling with students just communicating on a face-to-face basis.
Yeah.
We often find that when they first walk in the room, they're all sitting there talking to each other via phone.
Yeah.
So,
So
they do struggle a lot post-COVID because, you know, a lot of the students had to do online education for a long period of time. Yeah. So getting back into that environment where they actually have to talk to people is actually quite difficult. So we help to build their confidence. And so at the check-in area, for example, they have to ask questions about, have you packed your bag? And we do these role plays.
Nice.
And so we give them an information pack. We have questions on there where we're asking them to sort of do a role play with a person who is coming into the airport pretending to be a passenger. So it just opens those channels of communication.
Yeah.
So we're looking at things like eye contact, are they listening to each other? And then we'll speak to them and say, where was that person traveling to? How many people were traveling? See if they've really listened. And then our travel agency bit, we look at maths.
We are STEM ambassadors
at Simfly. So we're looking at a bit of maths. So how do you do discounts? If the travel agency next door, for example, are offering a 20% discount, can we do 25%? So we're using a lot of maths as well, and that is really,
it's
really great with schools. So we go from anything from year sevens right the way through to colleges in the training facility. However, since September this academic year, what Stewie and I have been doing is visiting primary schools. There's a lot of emphasis now on primary schools for children to make decisions about what they want to do when they get older. Huge emphasis on year six. So we go into their schools and we talk to them about their career options, and we speak to them about the opportunities that are currently within the aviation sector post-COVID.
Yeah.
You know, you think about all of those people who got the redundancies and things like that. We have a wealth of opportunity now within the aviation sector. So we talk to students, and we've been doing that every Wednesday. We go into schools, two schools every Wednesday, one in the morning, one afternoon. We talk to primary school children about their careers and what the aviation sector is like.
Incredible.
And then we do, like, you know, have a bit of fun. We do a manual demo, and we let them have the try of the life jacket and all of that kind of thing. And then following that, we sometimes get those kids into the training facility. But normally within the training facility, it's more comprehensive schools that we're working with.
Yeah.
And also Stewie and I are currently working to reshape the new T levels for aviation. That's a huge thing. We're working behind the scenes. To reshape that as well.
Well, that is
incredible.
That is incredible.
So when I saw Simfly, and you're talking about the sim, you're doing a whole host of things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fundamental skills.
Yeah.
You know, the maths and all that. I think it's fantastic. Social opportunities as well. Yeah, interaction. Right, yeah. That is incredible.
It is.
And it sounds like you've got a thing packed full of technology as well.
Yes,
which obviously, unfortunately, we've done that four minutes.
But no, we'll get you on for a full blown episode.
We'll have to come down and see, and we'll get you in.
Come down, do a full blown episode, bring some cameras and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So what's the website? Simfly.
Simfly.co.uk.
There we go. So if you're more about Simfly, please visit simfly.co.uk.
Thank you so much for your time.
That was fantastic. I look forward to this afternoon.
Yeah. How good was that?
That was incredible.
I mean, in terms of getting down to the level of them, the young school children, you don't think about the effect that COVID had.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Like you say, it's incredible. And to get to that level of six-year-olds or seven-year-olds, and to make sure that they are aware that we're looking after them, what do they want to do? It's a great idea, that.
It was so much more than I realised when they started talking
about it. I just wanted to know, was there a bar?
Was there a bar coming through? Sit in the aisles. Hello.
Hello.
I can see a Darlington College badge. You both Darlington College.
Nice to see you again. See you, my friend.
It has been a while. Check. Are we good? Yep, we're still rolling.
So basically what we're doing is we're doing a...
Sorry, that was me knocking my cup.
Someone's breaking cups.
Yeah, it's me. Sorry.
We're doing a speed podcasting thing. We are basically going to give you 4 minutes on the clock. This one's going to be Anne Robinson, and he will basically...
Goodbye.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, sorry, I thought...
But basically, we're going to give you 4 minutes to talk about who you are, what you do, and what you can do for us, the podcast people and the listeners. Away you go.
So we're from Darlington College. I'm Thomas, and then I've got Rosie with me after the site. Rosie's more apprenticeships. I am the adult skills and engagement advisor for the college. In a nutshell, the college have a load of free courses that we offer the community and businesses. Quite a lot of it's technology-based now. We do essential digital skills. We've started dabbling with VR headsets at the college. We've started, it's awesome. We get to do like virtual welding and all that.
Oh, yeah.
We do...
Virtual drinking.
It's a running theme today.
It's a running theme
We've got an immersive room at the college now where you can put yourself
Had the pleasure of being in that room.
How cool
is it? It's really cool.
It's very cool.
It is really, really cool. It projects on, to describe it, projects on everything.
Yes.
Like you're stood in there. I think I was in space, in the spaceship
the final
with a robot. Yeah, it was a bit like that, honestly, with a robot like steering the ship and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, we do meditation there as well for the staff and, yeah, and for company. So it's a nice little room there just to chill, take 2 minutes to yourself.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's a fantastic room.
So I want to just jump in here. Alina, can you just give us a wave off camera? Alina has completed her apprenticeship with Dartmouth College back in December. Look, she's still here.
Yes. Yes. I've met Alina.
Oh, have you?
Seen a lot of work, and so I deal with the apprenticeship side of the college.
There you go, then.
So I
never had the pleasure of meeting yourself through the apprenticeship program.
Very proud.
Yeah, well, there she is. Look at her with her headphones on. She's off camera. She's smiling. She's pressing buttons. She's being attentive. She's a legend. Editor-in-chief, that's what Alina is.
Absolutely. You could make her the face of apprenticeships if
you could. But yeah, so personally, jumping in, my business, HubSpot Media, we've had the direct experience of the apprenticeship program. It was fantastic. It's been great. And Alina, you know, has been tremendous in terms of the approach and the work.
Oh,
and
that's fantastic.
I've had the pleasure of working with the college. So, there's
lovely.
All of that.
That's my part. To Darlington College, I work on the apprenticeship team, so I work with the employers. I'm new to Darlington College, but like I say, all of the companies that I have worked with, I'm here for you as a business.
Yes.
Yeah. And it can be a bit of a tricky process to go through. I had to do some learning,
but the college did all of that. Assist, like they helped me and just told me exactly what it is. So I think for me, on your behalf, I'm like saying you're there to help in terms of that.
The gentleman that did your PC, Daniel.
Yes.
Yes.
Industrial placement. Absolutely.
See, so,
I'm benefiting a lot from these students. Yeah.
My free hardware, my free labour.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Like free courses,
The adult learning courses. We've had the pleasure of shooting some of the TV advert for the adult learning courses. They are. I've had a look through the prospectus, the program.
Yeah.
Amazing. The level of stuff and the thing that struck me about the college is when we were first going to it. You see the front, you then go in. And then it just keeps going, and there's all kinds of facilities.
It really does. And like I say, there's so many courses out there, and there's so much to be able to do at the college.
Yeah.
Like I say, just come and visit us. Come to the college.
No, absolutely. Yep. Very welcoming.
There's even random courses like DIY, if you ever need to. You do a bit of electrical work, you do plumbing, you do. It's all free.
Yeah,
I've got a few things at my house that need sorting. Can you send some?
If you want to sign up.
Yeah, you can do the course.
No, I don't want to do the work.
That's fantastic. So I think for me, obviously on the adult learning courses, I know you host a whole plethora of things.
Yeah.
Plethora. Am I all right? What's going on there? Where did that come from? But they do.
I find that incredulous.
You've been getting words wrong all week, so I wouldn't
inedible.
Even bother. Yeah, inedible. He was meant to be indelible, and he said edible ink. Anyway, Andy. So, there's a whole host of different courses and the apprenticeship scheme. For me, Darlington College website is the best place to go, I'd imagine. And then speaking to somebody, darlington.ac.uk, there you go.
Yeah.
Got that one out for you.
That's two in a row.
I've got two websites in it. I read the badge of the other chat. I know their website. So, there we go. So, so obviously we've got Rosa from the apprenticeship team. We've got Thomas from the adult learning team, correct? Right, so if you're interested in any of those things, whether it's upskilling your business and taking on some adult learning courses, or whether you're looking to develop your business and support an apprentice, from personal experience, absolute positive thing to do. Really is.
Yeah.
And I'd highly recommend it. And the college, a fantastic organisation to work with. I can say that myself. So there we go.
You can slip in the fiver later.
Thank you very much. There we go. Thank you for your time.
Thank you
so
much. 4 minutes
just like that. Yeah. And
No,
that's
okay.
First podcast. Well, there you go. I'm sure we'll get you back.
Will be your last
on,
night.
No.
We'll get you back.
So, who are we going to have next? We're just rolling live and rolling through, so it's going to keep going. We'll catch up with you shortly. Thank
nice
you, guys.
To meet you. Nice to see you again.
No, thank you very much.
Cheers. Full circle. Alina there.
Yeah. The face of apprenticeships.
The face of apprenticeships. Imagine Alina on a billboard. Oh, we've got somebody. Here he is. Here he is.
Young Richard.
Here he is.
We know exactly.
Our next visitor. Our next victim. Oh, no, I mean, no. Guest.
Just
hello.
Not victim. I like victim.
Hello, how are you doing? We're giving everyone 4 minutes.
Okay.
And we're going to go through quickly an idea of what you do, what's it all about. So fire away, please, by
tell
all
us
means.
Who you are, what do
someone.
You do?
So my name is Richard Tucker. I'm CEO of Caring Caretaker. and I'm also chairman of Building Heroes and an appointed public appointed member for the veterans here in the Northeast.
Can you do anything else?
Well, there's a few hats.
There's a few hats.
Yes. No. The rest of the time, which is available, I drive my cars.
Very nice indeed.
Fantastic.
So, Care and Caretaker, we employ 51 people, 17 are veterans. We're a cleaning and property maintenance company in the main. Our clients range from PD Ports, NHS, MOD, through to smaller companies and schools.
Lovely.
And that. So, yes, we've won countless awards, including diversity and inclusion. We were nominated in the top 50 at the Invictus Games of worldwide veteran employers.
Yeah.
And we're in the top 100 UK veteran-owned companies.
Oh, yep. Fantastic news.
So, yeah, really we're doing really pleased with that. We're doing very well.
So you should be.
And that. So, and then Building Heroes, well, that's a charity. We take veterans and those leaving and retrain them in the construction industry.
Right.
From everything from civils to plant to building stud walls, plastering, joinering.
Yeah.
And we're looking to build our new super academy at Catterick later next year, 2025.
25, wow.
Yeah, we just celebrate 10 years and we won the Queen's Award for Enterprise last year.
Oh, that's really incredible. Nice thing to do. And as I say, obviously helping all the veterans about when they're
fabulous. Yes, I mean, and for a lot of them, because it's outdoor work, bricklaying and plants and civils, they like outdoors.
Yes,
they don't want to all be sat in front of a computer. Or in a desk.
Yeah. No,
appreciate that. And that. So, yes, that's good. And then, as a veteran affairs for the Northeast of England, it's Veteran Advisory and Pensions Committee, as well as the Veterans Office. And we help the veterans there with whatever issues that they may have and try and steer them or raise their case at the appropriate levels.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's fantastic. So, as I said, it's a very varied hat that you've got. It's all brilliant work that you're doing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I enjoy it, to be honest.
Absolutely, yeah.
We've talked about the Armed Forces Covenant with when we had Jason on.
Ah, I missed that one. I'm chair of the Gold Association for that.
Oh, actually, there was another hat. There we go.
And you knew it was a Sunday.
Yeah, but we...
a Sunday job.
We were talking about the Armed Forces Covenant, and obviously talking about the transition from being in the forces to careers. So I think having... you know, a place where they're going, right, come here and let's look at what you'd like to do. I think that is really valuable.
Oh, yes. Gosh, valuable to the community.
And where it is not all jobs fit or roads. So I came out as I was a logistics driver, storeman sort of thing. That was easy. I went into running a warehouse.
Yes.
But we have a colleague on one of our teams who was a sniper. Now, he was excellent at putting a round for you at a mile and a half away.
Yeah.
With the wind and all that being sorted out. A little bit of skill shortage for you, UK, but you know, his skill sets as an individual, his ethos, his ability to get up and go to work, and everything else was absolutely wonderful. And he's won us numerous plaudits from employers because he retrained into our environment. And equally, we've got a veteran who suffered a severe brain loss from an IED in Afghanistan, and he's actually won us contracts.
Wow.
You know, incredible. But people have looked at him and gone, well, we'll give you a bit more work then, Richard.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, they're all worthy of looking at and deciding on their own merits.
No, I can imagine.
And they're good quality people. And it's sometimes, particularly those that have a little bit of an issue in retraining.
Carry on. That's just the time. Ignore that.
it's just taking a look for what qualities they bring. As to how you can use those qualities and adapt and train them in a
I love the example you've given about the snipers. But there's so many behaviours sort of, you know, all the planning and everything. There's so much more than just, you know, taking a shot.
I mean, we had a regiment sergeant major who came in, he stood to attention and was absolutely...
Yes.
And shouted at everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have to shout now. You know, you're not on a parade square.
Yeah.
You know, we had... these things, and there's so many simple tricks that, you know, a good HR team we've got can put together and make, you know, and help that individual. And once they get the hang of the change, because they want to work with it as well.
Of course.
Yep. Once they get the hang of the change, then you've got an amazing guy. So we've got guys who go for burning hoops for us. which as an employer goes is really great.
That is absolutely fantastic. So can employers speak to you directly?
Absolutely. I mean, as chair of the Code Association, the Sunday job.
Sunday job, the other one.
We're welcome because we help to arrange the signings for the Armed Forces Covenant.
Perfect.
And we'll be absolutely delighted. You will have my details offline, no doubt.
Yep. We'll share those.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. That is fabulous.
5 minutes, but we've had fun.
Sorry, I overran.
No, that's okay. It's fantastic. And I think, you know, if anyone's interested, whether they're former forces or whether they're an employer looking for workforce.
And Darlington College is one of our providers here.
Right, okay.
We have just had Darlington College on.
There we go.
Well, they help do our stuff, and we'll be inviting them to do something with our gala event in October.
Yep.
And we have Gateshead, who do Bladen with the civils courses.
Brilliant.
Thank you so
fantastic.
Much.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Gosh, what a diverse.
I know, the caring caretaker, if anyone wants to know. So I've got a website here, AAAcaringcaretaker.co.uk. So if you're interested in any of that we've just talked about, please, by all means, give them a visit.
Well, that's the end of the podcast now. We've got no more time at all.
It's not actually the end of the podcast, everybody, just in case.
Please make room for me.
We have the lovely Donna.
Hi.
The first guest with a sheet of paper.
Absolutely.
You've been told not to crinkle it.
You've been told not to crinkle it? Oh, not on the microphone. Yeah. Was that Michelle? Michelle is brilliant.
The 4 minute timer that you've got, you being the first person. Who are you? What do you do? Tell us all about yourself.
Right. So, my name's Donna. I nearly said Roberts there, but I'm married now.
Donna
Gurney.
Jason's
the hubby, little humble hubby. So I'm a sewing teacher, interior designer, and chief cook and bottle washer, basically. Yeah. Do it all. I have students from age 7 and up that come to learn to sew. I also do pattern making, so if you have someone that's an odd size, they might have a sloped shoulder, so they would come to me for a patterned calico suit.
Yeah.
So it's easier for them to learn to make their own clothes so they fit.
Oh, yep. Lovely.
So I'm also a tailor and I do alterations and curtains and reupholstery and all that. So that's me. Mother of four, grandma of five.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's the work that you, the one that I find your work is so proud of is where you make little bags for the...
The Catholic bags.
Yeah. Please tell us about that.
I was
going to
ask you about
this. Phenomenal
work.
Yeah, right. So... I was asked by a nurse from St. Teresa's if I could make a pattern or help her make a pattern for catheter bags. So I didn't know what it was exactly she wanted. So I said, well, when you come next week, bring one. So the second week she bought the catheter bag. And on the third week, I'd made a pattern and sewn a few up. And I said, there you are. She was amazed.
Wow.
So she said, oh. So, will you help me make some? And I said, well, we can do a sew-along. So a sew-along is basically...
Like a sing-along, but with needles.
Yeah.
And thread.
Much more fun.
Is it?
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, so it's sewing for charity. So what happens is the person will come for the day, and we will cut, sew, and make as many as we can, and they take them away.
That's
a sew-along.
Yeah.
So that... led to Sew a Lot for Charity, which is the new company that's non-profit. It's all for free because I love everybody. Basically making things for St. Teresa's and the NHS.
Yep.
So first there was the catheter bags, which they give people dignity.
Yeah, I think just to clarify, it's like a bag cover, isn't it, that goes around the outside of the
bag. So if you go to visit somebody in hospital and they're really poorly, sometimes they'll have a catheter bag. And everybody looks at it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bit dark and, you know, you haven't been drinking enough. No. So this is basically a bag that covers it. And it's also a nice thing to do.
Of course it is.
You know, and it makes me feel good because I do them.
Ah, yeah, exactly.
So that was the bags started off. And then there was, can you do some wheat bags? So wheat bags are the... bags of grain you put in the microwave because people with Alzheimer's can't have hot water bottles.
Right.
So that was the second challenge. So I started on them. And then the third challenge was twiddle muffs for people with Alzheimer's. So I made some and
the hospital weren't very happy with mine. They weren't quite right, and I needed to knit them.
Yeah.
So now I've found people who will actually knit them.
Wow.
So now
wow.
I go on social media and I'll say, I need your help. Always go on, you know you're from Darlow.
Yep.
So I'll say, Facebook, I need your help. Can you knit? Because I can't. So this was the last post that I put out. So I explained that wards 31 to 34, I think it is, needed twiddle muffs. So there was a lot of people jumped on and said, yes, we can knit and we'll make you some. And I thought, fantastic. Anyway, so everything that I make, I hand over to either Sheila, the St. Teresa's nurse, or Pat Chambers from the NHS. And Pat had come on the Friday to pick everything up, and she said, I got a parcel today. And I went, right. And she went, somebody read your post. They're in Kent. They read your post for twiddle muffs.
You know you're from Darlow when you read it in Kent.
Yeah. And she posted them down to Pat. So I'm perfect. Really getting about, but don't tell the husband.
Don't tell the husband.
Yeah, don't tell the husband. So I do that, but I also... I make snuggle bags for the little souls that don't make it. Now, that's just a me thing. I don't ask anybody to learn how to do that. And it's really hard. It's emotional to sew them. But I think at the moment, it touches everybody. It we touched. All know somebody who's lost a baby. And sometimes you don't know it's going to happen.
No, of course not.
And these... padded bags are like a cuddle.
Yep.
So when the mum's saying goodbye and I can't very even hard. Imagine it. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they put the little one in one of my snuggle bags.
Yep.
And oh, I'm gonna cry.
No, don't worry.
And I make a hanky out the same cloth.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah. Right. So the fabric. It's all interlined with a nice squishy blanket.
Yeah.
So the fabric, the blanket. And the lace that I use. Oh.
Guys, don't worry. It's great work that you do.
I think it's incredible.
It is. Yeah. So everything that to make that one little snuggle bag at one point was joined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No.
Do you know, I wasn't going to cry.
So where can we find out more? If people want to find out more information, you know, like how do they get involved?
Yeah.
You know, how do we do that?
Right. So if you want to come sewing, that's Mampy's Corner, 4 Woodland Road in Darlington.
Yep.
And if you want to sew a lot for charity, I do believe I've got a website, but I don't know how up and running because it's very new, but very popular.
Yeah, you've only just launched. I remember Jersey said this 2 weeks ago.
I haven't even got a Facebook page yet.
What we'll do is we're gonna get the details. I'm looking at my team here as well, and we'll make sure that we share them in the description.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and we'll make it available because hot off the press. And I know that you've come to this.
It's just
you know, I think what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. It's an absolute credit to you. And do you know what is lovely to hear?
Yes,
social media being used for something so positive.
No,
just say this, Jason uses me as a bad example, and I really am the worst. So on Facebook, Smampy's Corner's got 2,800 followers, and I never put anything on at all. But I went on the local site, you know you're from Darlow, and I asked people to donate duvet covers, and at the end of that day, I had 62 people had contacted me either to sew or to donate, or just to, you know, share it with other people.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So
really
I found
nice.
Social media now.
Yeah.
So Jason now has to know, he has to show me how to use it.
Well, Donna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
Probably had more than 4 minutes, but
I'm sorry. No, you're fine. Thank you so much for joining us. We will share the information in the description comments, and it'll be on social media as well.
All right, thank you, Donna. Thank you, darling. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was great.
Lovely.
Touching. So touching.
Very touching.
Hello.
Hello, I think we're, you've slid in, which is great. I think we're probably got our
I love
last...
you, Jason.
We're just checking.
I love
right, we are going to... Stop it, he's heckling. Right, okay, so you've got 4 minutes to introduce yourself, tell us a bit about what you do, and then we're going to ask you some questions.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, great.
Away you go. Who are you? Right. What do you do?
Okay. I'm Stu Davies. I run a couple of companies, but one we're doing is Contract Match. It's all about... engaging with businesses across the country and bringing in opportunities. So we're linked into a load of government opportunities at the moment. We're linking into other ones which will be unique to us, and therefore it gives business opportunities that they would never normally get to see.
Yeah.
We have a saying, if you miss 100% of the opportunity you never knew about.
Yeah.
And that's a platform we've created. We've created it through using Flutter, Firebase system, so a load of tech, different tech industry stuff that we're doing. We've got Postgres databases, Firebase databases, all integrated, doing different things within those. So we're using Flutter, we're using Fast API. So if anybody doesn't know about them,
this is great, isn't it?
So that's really where we're at. We're getting ready to relaunch the platform after redeveloping certain sections of it. We're just clearing out all the old test data. We've got about 2,500 opportunities to load into it straight away, and then on a daily basis it goes and actually grabs them. So we're using AI to do things. Yeah. So when you go in to create your account, it'll ask you a couple of questions, it then goes and creates your profile for your account. So you don't need to worry about that, because that's one of the biggest problems
you're having, of course,
onboarding people and getting that. They never did it. It also then gives you suggestions for your categories that will suit your business.
Yeah.
So you know, because as soon as you put all that in, then what it goes and does is it then works out and says, okay, well, we've got all these opportunities. It finds out which opportunities match yours and also puts them into your inbox, so you can see these opportunities.
There you go.
Wow. And there's more going.
So, quick question on that. What sort of organisations would use your service? Yeah.
Anyone. So, effectively, it comes down to one of the biggest problems within business is getting work, finding new work. And the original concept behind it was aimed at the micro small business sector so that they could then put opportunities in themselves and then spread those out so other people would see them. You basically build this ecosystem of small businesses working. Unfortunately, the apathy within that side is very difficult to break down and get people to change doing what they do.
Yep.
So what we've done is we work now, and we're talking to people like Hiscox and other people to actually bring in opportunities. So they're going to put things through there. So we've got what we call tail spend.
Yeah.
So those sort of tail spend things will come in, and they're not signed, sealed, and delivered yet. But if we can get those, Mars and other ones as well.
Yeah.
Looking at those sort of things, and if they come on board,
yeah,
and they give us opportunities that were only available through our platform.
Yeah. Okay.
Therefore, then that will hit any business. But the big contracts, which you talk about, government-based things, they come in. They're available freely everywhere anyway. But the idea is that ours actually matches them now.
Yeah, of course.
So when we actually drag those down, we then use AI to actually rewrite the contract bid.
Yeah.
So it becomes more reader user-friendly. Yeah. It then also looks to see, well, what category would that fit within? So it automatically matches categories and puts that into the system. So if you are matched, you automatically get a notification to say, here's an opportunity. Some of those won't be any good for small businesses. Appreciate that, but they are for the mid or the larger.
Yeah.
The other thing with that is, though, that then they want to engage with smaller businesses in the areas. They want to engage with local, but they can't because the supply chain is not available. Now, this is a tool which will actually create that supply chain for them. So if, let's say, for instance, I'm a London company, but I win a contract up in the Northeast, the remit is you've got to use X amount of your local business within that. Where are they? The councils go, well, we don't know. We'll bring our own then.
Yeah.
No, use this. Now absolutely. You can.
Yeah.
But then it starts pushing it out.
I've got fabulous. So many questions, but we're not on time.
So how can people find out about you, get hold of you, contact you?
We're hidden.
Yeah, right, okay.
We hide ourselves completely. No, Contract Match is the name of the company.
Contract Matches.
Contract Match.
Contract Match.
So that's just on there. You can click on it and you can download the app.
Yeah.
But we're just getting ready to get that on back online. So I'd say early next week.
That's been really interesting. Perfect. Thank you so much. Again, we're moving all through the industries and various things.
I know, all over there. This is great. Thank you so much for your time. Nice to meet you.
Lovely. That's great.
Hello, how are we doing? We are rolling. So you're straight into it. So we've got 4 minutes.
Okay.
Let me hit my timer. So please introduce yourself. Tell us what you do, where you're from.
I am Nicola Stevenson, and I work for Towergate Insurance Brokers. We have an office in Darlington, Newcastle, all over the country, but our local office is in Darlington. And we primarily in that office insure basically businesses, local businesses. We do actually have a few national clients. I have clients that were based down in London as well. But we do cover mainly our client book is small commercial or corporate cases in the northeast of England.
That's fantastic, isn't it? We're everyone needs insurance.
Every business needs insurance.
All of these different businesses in Darlington Business School is fantastic.
Especially with you and your tech and tripping off.
Don't look behind me. There's wires. No, the wires are very tidy. The wires are very tidy. Everyone's on that side. Yes, it's exactly. Fine. Fantastic. Mm. So you're based in Darlington.
We are, yeah.
And you work with businesses of all sizes, or do you work with bigger ones, smaller?
We have two main teams in the office. Well, we have three, actually, if you include the claims team. The claims team in Darlington actually look after Leeds and Newcastle branches, so they cover three branches. But our two main teams are the small business team, so basically cover anything up to sort of, you know, like maybe about £2,500 premium. And then you've got the corporate team where we sort of can have clients from, you know, 10,000 to 200,000 in their premiums. So anything from commercial banks and to manufacturing, care, we do a lot of care. Farm as well, farm insurance. I can't, you know, there's so many different trades and so many different products as well. So we obviously do professional risks.
You would have a farm.
Yeah, I've been doing some farming work, I have.
Farming?
Yeah,
yeah. Farming.
More down with the camera. Farm. But
Wow. Yeah. It sounds like it's a really lovely, close-knit team.
It is, exactly. Some great colleagues. Want, absolutely, no.
Yeah, because you don't want the, you know, the big companies' insurances. You know, I personally spoke to them. I just feel as I'm a number to them.
No, absolutely,
It sounds as though you really care about your clients.
Yeah, absolutely, and I do. And we've got some great colleagues, a lot of years of experience and expertise. Yeah. And sometimes you always get a question where a client will ask you something and you're just thinking, I've been doing this job for 30 years and no one has ever asked me that before. Or there's a situation and there's the support there from our colleagues where we can just bounce problems or ideas off each other. And there's a lot of problem solving involved. You know, it's sort of like sometimes something out the ordinary, risk out. How can we do this? Where can we place it? Try and work with some nice friendly underwriters.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
that sounds really nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is fantastic. One question for me, like, have you seen an increase in customers asking about cyber insurance?
Absolutely, we need more customers asking about cyber insurance. Yeah, there's two main things at the moment that we try to address with our clients. One of them is under insurance. A lot of people haven't had their buildings or properties valued for many years.
Yeah.
And if they are underinsured, then they could find themselves in out of pocket in the event of a claim.
So the call to action is check.
Check your building, someone's insured. We can arrange for our clients. It's an online valuation service, but it is still RICS.
Yeah.
And it costs our clients £63 for a building valuation.
That's nothing compared to what it can cost.
Absolutely.
You.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we can do that. And obviously the other thing that we do talk to our clients about is cyber, because that is the new.
It is, isn't it?
You know, criminals aren't breaking into offices and, you know, buildings anymore.
They're breaking in other ways.
Exactly. Criminals are different, but they are now teenagers sat in their bedrooms eating pizza, are the new criminals, aren't they? It's like they probably don't think of themselves as criminals, but
fun, but unfortunately it's not fun at all.
Exactly, yeah.
No.
And unfortunately, a lot of my clients, they usually buy cyber after something has happened. It's usually a phishing attack, social engineering.
I work in the IT industry, and most of my clients, when they ask me about cyber insurance, I'm like, you should do it. But the problem is, it's like, how much is it? And like, but I don't need it.
Mm.
Sadly, it's always after the event that they ask me about it again. I'm like, well, unfortunately so.
Yeah.
But maybe we should do a campaign together.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a good idea.
Our final question is, how do people find out about you?
Yes.
Find about me? Best thing to do would be to email, which is Nicola, N-I-C-O-L-A, .Stevenson, spelled with a P-H, @ towergate.co.uk.
Fabulous.
Perfect. Thank you very
much. Thank you very
much.
Well,
that
was great.
Today,
thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then, nice take care now.
Cyber security.
There is something that we need to
do. Hello, we have straight into our next guest. We're
with a fabulous shirt on.
I know, it's fantastic.
That's a fabulous shirt on.
We've got 4 minutes, and we want to know who you are, what you do. So, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Darren Rhodes. I'm one of the directors of a social enterprise which was set up in December last year called Social Impact Northeast CIC, abbreviated down to SIGN CIC.
Okay,
See what you did there.
I like it. So what does it do?
So we are a friend of all of the other voluntary community and social enterprises in the Northeast, in the way that everybody is facing challenges at the moment, getting access to grant funds and things like that, particularly with community interest companies and other small community groups. So what we're here for is to use our skill sets as professional networkers. And we're going and speaking to a lot of commercial organisations who want to demonstrate their support for their communities through social value. So we're putting together a list of organisations that we're going to be going to speak to. The purpose of that is for us to encourage them to part with their money, become members of Science CIC, which then enables us then to support a lot of the community groups that are really struggling. And at the same time, the corporate organisations get to see their,
of course,
their beneficiaries face to face. So we're using our expertise and knowledge to run things like workshops and seminars.
Okay. Yeah.
We're running networking groups similar to the one we've got here today.
Yeah.
And really try to bring in as many key speakers to talk about the issues that matter to people in the Northeast. Three of the directors in the organisation have military service, so we're going to be very specialised when it comes to supporting veterans groups.
Yeah.
And one of the ideas that we've just launched is a new website. You like this one, guys. So our main organisation is called SIGN, and because we're going to be helping veterans, we've just come up with a new project called VSIGN.
VSIGN.
You knew that was
coming. I knew that was coming. The minute you mentioned that, VSIGN, that is very clever.
We've already started to do work. So we've been helping Age UK in Darlington.
Yeah.
We repainted out one of their community activity rooms, actually, for repurposing things for people living with dementia. There's a certain colour scheme that works well for them. The dementia nurses down there asked us to go in. It wouldn't, in our taste, it was a lime green colours for the wall and a nice battleship grey for the dado rails and the window frames. But we've done that before we left, and they were absolutely amazed by the work that we put into that. We asked if there was anything else that they needed. And they needed emergency first aid at work training for their volunteers. Because obviously they work with a lot of older age people.
Yeah, of course.
And we saw that was something we could help with. So through our connections, we have found an emergency first aid at work instructor. And we've also got a commercial organisation that's actually funded that.
Oh, wow.
And that is happening on the 9th of May down in Darlington. Yeah. And the next project that we've got then is to work on the VSIGN project, and we're looking to connect together as many military networks across the Northeast as we can. This is not to take over any of their original ideas, but it's to inform their users where there are other activities that they can access. And we're looking at putting in things in there to support them, such as giving them advice and guidance on how to go about seeking new jobs or new training or just other places that they can visit to overcome social isolation, and as we get into the colder months of the year, where the warm places are. So it's it's been an interesting journey. The first,
I imagine. There's so first much to unpick, and you've
actually done it under time. So can I ask an extra question?
Yeah.
In terms of the speech that you were doing there, how did you organise your theme tune in the background?
It was very carefully choreographed.
I'll tell you what, it was perfectly online.
For context, that was the Great North Air Ambulance video playing in the background.
But it did work. It did work. It was incredible. Darren, you do so much work. It must be hard work, but it must be really rewarding.
It is rewarding, yeah. Yeah, and it's something that me and two of the other directors want to move into full time. So as soon as we're able to get that income into the social enterprise, we can break free from the chains of our 9-to-5s and actually get out and do a little bit more. But it's been great.
Fantastic. How do we find out about your
website? Yeah.
So all the details are on the website. It's www.signcic.org. You can register there if you're interested as a volunteer, so you can help with some of our projects. You can register for free as a VCSE, where we can then go and ask what we can do to help you. And you can also register as a corporate organisation, after which we'll then have a conversation to see how you can best fit, and we can meet your social values as well.
Yep. Yeah, good.
Amazing.
Darren, thank you so much.
Thank you. That's so incredible. Thank you. Nice to meet you. And Andy, we've got a familiar guest.
Familiar guest.
Special guest here.
Special guest.
To talk about marshmallows.
I'll tell you what I did on Sunday.
So for those that can't see it, it's Hilary Bevan, who was on, I can't even remember which episode now.
It was in December. 13 or 14.
It was in December, yes. So Hilary.
Do you realise we're on 36 now?
Gosh.
Introduce yourself again for the benefit of the podcast and tell us what you do, please.
So I am Hilary Bevan and I do VAT.
Yes. You do.
But today I would like to talk to you about what I did on Sunday.
Go on then. Hilary,
what did you do on Sunday?
I drove a steam train.
No.
You drove a steam train.
A steam train?
I know nobody, because it's a podcast, nobody can see the pictures except for you two. But
well, we
have got pictures.
Potentially add at the minute if we get into Alina.
Oh, my goodness me.
So where did you tell us about
I
this?
I went to Tanfield Railway, which is the oldest railway in the world. Yep. Everyone thinks Stockton to Darlington Railway is the oldest, but that is the oldest passenger railway.
Yep. Right.
This was a goods railway moving about coal at East Tanfield. So near Beamish.
Yeah.
And it was from 1725.
Wow.
That's how old it is.
No.
So almost 300 years
so
old.
So nearly as old as you.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you didn't hijack the train. How did you come to drive the train?
So it's a new, obviously they're a charity. They need loads of money to try and keep things going
of
and restore the trains. Because
it
costs, every 10 years, they have to do a total overhaul of each steam engine, which costs £40,000. So
wow.
They need a lot of money for stuff. So they have started a recent initiative of letting people pay to do a footplate experience. So they only started in March. So I was only one of the very first people to do it last Sunday of every month.
Get in.
You pay £150 and you get to go in the footplate of the steam train. So you get there and this lovely, lovely man greeted me. He gave me my boiler suit and my cap and my protective gloves and everything. And took me down and introduced me to the two lads who drive it.
Yeah.
And then I got to go all the way down to one stop and then sit in the engine while they uncoupled it, moved it along and did the signals and then attached it the other way. Then we went backwards all along the track to the other way. Then they unhooked it again and moved it.
There is only one question coming. You do know this, don't you?
There's two actually, but I'll let you ask you.
Well, this is the one. Did you do the whistle?
Yeah.
No, I didn't do the whistle, but I got to move it at a little bit where it wasn't attached to any humans when they were moving it.
Yeah.
I pressed a button that, well, like pushed a lever that made it work. Then after about 2 seconds, I was absolutely terrified because I didn't know how to make it stop.
No.
Obviously, there were two people there who did, so I didn't have to worry. And I got to shovel some coal into the fire. But the lad who was doing it, he was doing huge shovelfuls, picking up loads, and he gave it to me to have a go, and I got about two pieces of coal on the shovel.
Because it's an art form to it. You've got to get it right to the back and
and flat, so it was full. And you've got to distribute the coal evenly.
So my question was, when you were doing it, which song was going through your head? Either Casey Jones, but I'm way too old for people like that, or was it Ivor the Engine? They're the only two things that I would know. Because I'd be going, Ivor the Engine, I'm putting in my cap. No.
I'm not familiar with that tune, I'm afraid. But it was very amazing. And then I got a goodie bag. So I got a coaster with a picture of my train that I was in on it, and a keyring and a magnet with a picture of my train on.
So how do people book onto this? Where do they need
to
go?
So if you go onto the website, which is Tanfield Railway, search for Tanfield Railway, can't remember the exact web address, and they're open every Sunday and every bank holiday, and it's £15, and you can literally just ride up and down on the train all day, and they've got one goods train and one carriage people train, the goods train you drive in the guards van. Or you can pay £40 for a year, which means you can just go and sit on the trains whenever you want. Or the last Sunday of every month, they're doing these footplate experiences. They also do afternoon tea, which looked amazing. And they're restoring an old buffet carriage thing that's going to have a big table in it and be all old historic furniture. And it can seat 10 people. When it's finished, you'd be able to hire it for it. So you just have a carriage for your private party with just your mates in it.
Yes,
let's go.
Let's do that. I'm brilliant. Well up
Thank
for
you
that.
So much,
Thank
Hillary. That was amazing.
Do you realise every episode Adam talks about your marshmallow and pizza thing?
Yeah, getting it from the bakery aisle, not the confectionery aisle.
See, we'll invite you back on a proper episode shortly.
There
you
go. I'll come review back that episode on the Take a Break
Thanks
podcast.
Very much,
Thank
guys.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you.
I didn't expect that today. That's brilliant.
Casey Jones and a steam engine.
Here we go. Here's our next.
Here we go.
So we're doing.
Hello, Howard.
I've been instructed.
How are you doing?
We've got 3 minutes and we're going to get
straight.
Well, apparently I've been told by Michelle. If you want to arm wrestle Michelle,
I do. We'll accept it.
Okay. Could you? Oh, she's looking at me. Quick hide. So I'll pretend we don't know your name, but please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Hi, I'm Howard Little. I'm the membership advisor for the Federation of Small Businesses in the northeast of England. Done it for about 8 years. Prior to that, ex-military, forensic photographer for the police, expert witness.
I never
know
you did that.
No,
I never knew
that
one.
Then I was an expert witness for court as well. So.
Did I?
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Very good.
So I know Howard through my dealings with the FSB.
I've been a member of the FSB.
I know. So am I.
So that's how I met you first, mm-hmm. through the FSB. Mm-hmm. Fantastic organisation.
No, I know. It gives you Thank you so much. Absolutely.
It's a, yeah. I mean, it's I hate saying it, but it's a no-brainer.
It is.
For any small business.
I think just to explain, it's the Federation of Small Business, just so people know what that stands for.
Yeah.
What do you say the FSB offers, basically, to a small business?
It's everything. About peace of mind.
Yep.
It's being able to pick a phone up and just say to some solicitor or barrister in Manchester or London, help, how on earth do I deal with this?
Yeah.
About anything at all to do with your business.
Yeah. That could be creditors, it could be invoicing, it could be legal. Yeah. Honestly, as I say, as you quite rightly said, Howard, when I see small business and I ask them, are they a man? No, I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. It is, and those are those exactly, it's a no-brainer.
It is, yeah. Just give them my phone number and my name.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some of the things that have helped me, so there's the legal hub.
Yeah.
And it's not just about picking up the phone to someone. There's documentation that you can look at and just refer to. There's free templates that you can use.
There are 1,400 downloadable documents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I needed a modern slavery policy.
Yeah.
And I was like, at the time, it was just me.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was when I first set up, it was just me. And I'm like, modern slavery policy.
Yeah.
Where do I get that?
And I was like, FSB. Do you know what? I'll have a look at the FSB.
there it is.
I was like, yeah. So in the early days, the reason why I went to the FSB is partly to do that, because it's actually helped me set up and establish my business. I've been a member for, I don't know, 5 years now.
Yeah, it's
also a great place to meet people.
It is,
you know, there's loads of things, just like we're doing here with the Darlington Business Hub. I'm still in contact with Michael James.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously moved on to CLR now. Mm-hmm. He's one of my customers now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? As I say, it's an absolute no-brainer joining the FSB.
Yeah.
Really is very
good. A couple of things people don't realise is that it's a personal membership.
Yes.
So it covers every business that you own, one membership. And we're constantly adding new benefits in all the time.
Yep.
So the latest one is 24/7 access to a GP. Private GP.
I'm going to sign up.
I was logged in actually a few weeks. I do log in regularly, I'm always looking at documentation. But just to show, even that quick, things are changing. So
absolutely.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you very much, Howard.
So if people want to find out about the FSB, we know. There you go. So Howard, you're the regional representative.
For the North East.
People get in contact with you or the FSB.
Find me on LinkedIn, get in contact with me, because I'm self-employed and I work on commission only, so please come through me.
Absolutely.
There we go.
There you go.
Howard, thank you so
much. Thank you so much.
Great to see you again.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Wow.
Wow.
I love the FSB.
I love the FSB.
Fantastic. Hello. Please come and join us. We have straight into our next guest. So we're just
all rock and roll, this, isn't it?
I know. Straight on. So please introduce yourself. Tell us what you do.
I'm Jo from Jo Long Consulting. I'm a strategic marketer.
Oh, wow.
I love
Everybody needs a marketing person.
I love marketing. How long have you been going?
Well, I've got a background in corporate for about 20 years, and I set my business up 9 years ago.
And are you based in Darlington?
Barnacastle.
Barnacastle.
So not far.
The world famous Barnacastle.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't work for any specs.
Yeah, you don't need your eyes testing or anything like that. Exactly.
So why the move from big corporate to small?
Big corporate, I found, was very tied up in bureaucracy and general politics, really.
Yes.
And I'd kind of had enough. I got to senior management level and decided that actually perhaps I wanted to work with smaller businesses.
Aww.
So I left and we moved up to the northeast from just south of Leeds. And then I set my business up. I was being asked for advice. So it seemed a good way to do it.
Well, absolutely. And as I say, everybody needs it, doesn't it? So your customers, your clients, they range from what to what?
All sorts of industries.
All sorts.
Yes, all sorts, really. So I tend to work with businesses up to about 250 employees. But yeah, anything across industry. My background's in manufacturing.
Right.
So I work with artisan makers up to manufacturers. But equally, I work with accountants, with solicitors, charities, not-for-profits. Yeah.
That is very broad, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, marketing goes across every industry.
I think that we did talk about that. Yeah,
I'd agree.
Yeah, but you're in marketing.
I know. But I'd agree.
Stop agreeing.
It's true,
I'd still
though,
agree.
Isn't it?
It is true.
It is true. It's everything. It's, yeah. You know, yeah. It's
a lot of it
everything.
Is saving time for businesses on finding opportunities.
Yes.
So idea generation and harnessing those opportunities,
oh,
making
gosh,
sure their
yes.
business goes in front of the right people.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
A massive flag waver for sustainability at the moment.
Well, good for you as well.
Every SME should be looking at sustainability as an opportunity for them.
Yeah, we do. So. I mean, we work in IT, but one of the services that we offer our clients is a free week or service. Because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And funny enough, we've regurgitating machines.
Yes, we've got, in our office, we've got recycled servers, for example, that we've used, built out of, basically had some
basically customers gave us some equipment and said, I don't need that, upgrade it. And instead of throwing it away, I'm going, how can I now reutilize
it? Absolutely.
And that's what we do. And he just steals things off me.
I do. I just run up, grab a...
Still with pride.
Grab
a box. Absolutely.
Yeah, now we've created some servers and things like that. So we've been pushing about reusing. We've been talking about putting Linux on the system to, like, breathe life into it rather than, say, using Windows and stuff like that. Like, a bit different,
okay.
But, you know, we're being sustainable.
Yeah,
and then,
So as long as you're telling people about it as well,
we
that's the big thing.
That's what I tried to. Yeah, we have been.
Cost.
Yes.
What do you think the biggest challenges are that people are facing at the moment then, in terms of in the marketing sphere?
I think just time generally. So finding time, like I say, to kind of find opportunities and put those into practice, find new audiences. It's not really probably a new thing, but I think businesses are much more finding the landscape, if you like, much more tough at the minute. You know, a lot of businesses I speak to, they're saying about trying to just stay as a business, never mind growing or whatever else.
Yeah, just staying still.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, things are tough. Like, out of business, but also in business. So so I think, a lot of it is time. Just make sure they've got a plan.
Yeah.
You know, people are being pulled from place to place saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Well, actually, what's right for the business and what's right for your audience, actually, more importantly? How do you need to speak to them? Where do you need to speak to them? Finding those sustainability opportunities.
Fantastic.
She does
very much so.
Do I sound like it?
Yes, 100%. How do people find out about you? Where do they go? Visit website?
Yes, I have a website, which is joelongconsulting.com, or I'm on LinkedIn. You can just search for Joe Long. I'm on Instagram, on Facebook. I'm on
everywhere.
We're all over,
really.
Just Google me. I'm sure you'll find
fabulous.
Me.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Brilliant.
And you even get an applause.
And you got
a
round of applause at the end of your slot.
Hopefully
there
I'm not the only person to have that today.
Absolutely not. Thank
you so much for joining us.
Fabulous.
Absolute pleasure to meet you. Oh, yes, you could take a selfie.
Right.
Yeah, go for it.
With you in, clearly.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, there we go.
Get you in. Hang on.
Come here.
Michelle, come on. Can we do this first? Oh, there we go.
There we go.
It's okay.
There we go,
thank
selfie
you,
time.
Thanks,
so nice
gents.
To meet you, thank you,
nice
Joe.
You.
Okay, straight into our next guest. Please Hello. Come and join us. We are live and rolling. Right, we're gonna hit. We're gonna
not
go.
Too live, right?
No, not live.
Just beep, recording.
Beep, 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 beep.
Right.
So basically, what my friend's gonna do is press the button for 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Tell us.
I thought it's four.
Oh, we'll stretch it.
We'll stretch it.
Who are
over.
You? What do you do? And how can we help you tell all the people about you?
Right. So, my name is Paul.
Right.
And I am here from the company that we just starting out with my wife called Hugo Hart, and that's a private orthotic company. So basically specialize in making custom-made insoles for your footwear.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you're aware, everything starts from your feet.
Yes,
goes up.
Of course. Yes.
So if your feet is not doing well, your ankle will start doing poorly, then your knees, your hip, spine, and so
there's
on.
A song in there, isn't
it? It could be. If it isn't, it should be.
It's a Nicola song.
We'll try. But yeah, so we are an orthotics company that specializes in that. So let's say.
If just going to have a quick look at your list
while
you're talking. If that's okay.
I brought it for you.
Thank you.
So if you have any problem, you don't have to be an athlete. You might enjoy walking, hiking, cycling. Because. My wife is a clinician. She's an orthotist, and she works with an NHS, but we're trying to do our own private thing at our own time. So this is based here in Yarm, Eaglescliff. So northeast, basically.
Yeah, of course.
So we try to work with our own community to begin with, but obviously we would like to grow.
Of course you would. Everyone does.
I've never been to a networking event. So this is my second.
Wow. And you're on a podcast.
I know, right?
How lucky
am I?
Perfect time.
And yeah, so the first one was yesterday, where I met Howard from FSB. And
So
I became a member of...
We are members of the FSB.
FSB as well. And he mentioned that this is going on here today. And I literally live 5 minutes down the road walking. So
perfect. Absolutely perfect.
It's a perfect place to be in here.
Yeah. So I'm reading. Yes. Detailed assessment with our specialists, plantar pressure analysis, gait analysis, 3D laser foot scan.
No, it's pronounced laser.
Laser.
There you have it.
So there's a lot of technology obviously going in this. And then obviously the custom made sole. So you're really analysing how people are moving, walking, standing. Is that correct?
Yes. So yeah. Let's say the normal procedure would be we try to spend as much time with you as we can. So I think if you would go into, and NHS works fine, it's brilliant, but if you come to us, you will probably get more time with us than you would get like in an NHS setting. Yes. So we try to delve into more deeply what's going on.
Yeah.
And so you will have a chance to speak, get to your concerns, what is it that is troubling you.
Yeah.
And then we'll start with assessment. So it's just my wife's job. I'm the technical side of things. She's a clinician. So yeah. She will get on with probably examination of just whatever she does.
Yeah.
Then we will use a pressure plate. It's kind of like a almost 2 meter mat. Walk over it. Or you can stand and it shows postural, static and dynamic, how your gait works.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So we can see all the pressure points and how it deviates from the normal ranges that it's supposed to be. It even works to a degree, let's say you play golf.
Yeah.
You can stand on it and swing and it will show your posture and when you swing and how it deviates.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it will show how it deviates. So if anything needs correcting, then we can use that data to then import into our 3D software that we use. And then let's say you need a pair of corrective insoles or to alleviate certain pressures or make, let's say, that picture shows well, make you
Look in alignment. Yes.
Yeah, so everything works in alignment. So we will use actually that to scan a plantar surface of your foot and use the data, that's the data from the pressure mat.
Yep.
So use that data from the pressure mat and that scan to design something custom made for you that works from that red thing you see in here to this green one.
Yes, so that's without support if you're listening to bringing everything into alignment. Yeah, so I love that.
So I do love technology as well.
Absolutely. So this, what we're looking at is the platform where you can stand on, and then we've got sort of a gait analysis where we can see basically the person's footprint and how they're applying pressure. And then obviously you create the insoles from there.
Yes.
That is fantastic. So that is our time, and it is 4 minutes we've done there. Yeah, so you're good. And if you want to find out more, you can go to hugohart.co.uk and you're on the high street in Yam, correct?
Yes, but yeah, you can only get there by the appointment. So if you need anything, go to the website. Do email, check the website.
Check the website.
I mean, we're building everything ourselves. It's just me and my wife, so sorry.
It's not perfect,
but
we love the startup journey. Yeah, we've done it ourselves. And absolutely. Pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we look forward to catching up with you during the business networking. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Grab a selfie.
Yes, you got a second selfie.
Tell you what. This is not good for podcast.
I'm smiling. There we go.
I'll teach you how to smile.
Fantastic. So nice to meet you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Who thought the diversity that we'd have on this show?
Data driven. Either one is absolutely fine. If we just pop up the blue volume, pop down the red. Oh, is this our last one? Have we? Fantastic. Right. So, 4 minutes. I've hit start. Please tell me who you are, what you do, what's this all about?
My name's Sue and I have an independent social work business. So I'm not employed by the local authority.
Yeah.
I have my own business and I work with private clients and organisations on anything to do with social work and social care.
Yeah. Oh. Wow.
That is a big subject.
So who do you work with? I think is the first question.
So I work with private clients, so it could be individuals who want private advice.
Yep.
Or it could be their family members, it could be their carers, their loved ones who want to know more about social work, how it works, what would happen in certain scenarios. They might be getting a bad experience from social workers, from the local authority. They might not be happy, or they might just want another opinion to say, is this right? Is there anything else that's being missed? And because we know the current market, health and social care are really under under the cosh with funding cuts and everything. They can't do everything. And sometimes it's down to processes, the systems that they're working with. They're doing their very best, but sometimes it's just the nature of the game. So I can offer that little bit added extra, or I can fill the gaps that they're not doing. And things that are outside of their remit, I can sort of do whatever in my remit, you know, to help the person.
What I love about this is very centred around the person.
Yes.
So I imagine every day is not the same, I imagine.
Yeah, so it's all individual circumstances. I also work with solicitors. They have a lot of private clients who, who need assessments, or they need pieces of work doing that obviously they can't do, but they need a specialist to do. So I pick up work from solicitors. Financial advisors is another one. They get private clients, so I work with their clients. And I'm looking to help solicitors and financial advisors be better at helping their customers, because I've got specialist knowledge in social care that they don't have, which will benefit their clients. And then there's this new consumer duty come out for financial advisors where they've got to work with vulnerable customers better. So that's what I'm working on at the moment, is to try and let them know that I'm available and what I can actually do to enhance what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a full one, isn't it? Fantastic. So what made you go it alone? What made you start up?
Well, I've been in it for nearly 28 years now. So I know I don't look old enough, and I won't, you can't tell on this podcast. But yeah, I've been in it for a long time, and I've worked in all different sectors, in different jobs. I'm always job hopping and doing different things. So I had a lot of experience, and very diverse experience. And then I got to the top of the tree, and I was advising the director in a very high-level position. And it really was quite toxic, unfortunately. And I think it's because of the pressure that local authorities are under, the funding pressures, or the pressures just getting worse and worse. So then everybody in there is sort of hot-headed, and the atmosphere, it's just not what it was. And I think that those days are coming to an end, and I think what we'll see is a core local authority, and then everything else will have to be bought out. So I think we'll have a core service for people, and the rest you'll have to buy it, and if you can't afford it, then you can't have it.
Yeah,
I think that's where we're heading.
Time to get out and set up on my own.
I think so, yeah. While I was at the age I was at, I thought, well, if I don't do it now...
If I don't do it now, I'll
regret it. So it's just hard, like setting up, starting from scratch.
Absolutely,
And, like, I've had to think of what services can I offer from the very beginning, which has been really hard. But I do offer a lot of different things to different people.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's just a little bit of things I do. I do an absolute load of stuff I haven't mentioned.
I think for me, like you say, it's so broad, but then it's also not broad, because when you're working with an individual, it's actually very much focused around them. So whilst you can cater for the full menu, so to speak, you're only obviously delivering a key area around the individual, depending on what they need. Do you have a website or any information?
Where can people find out? My website is www.susancarroll.co.uk.
susancarroll.co.uk. Fantastic. And we've got your information there, so we'll be able to share that. Nice colours, Alina.
So there's more information there if people want to look it up and find out more about me.
We will get that shared. Thank you so much for your time. Wow. We have seen how many people.
I've lost count.
No, we get a lot. Thanks, Jess.
Can we push a lot?
A lot.
A lot, yeah.
We're getting a lot.
Thanks for the technical input there.
Yeah. Take a break. A lot.
A lot. That was intense, wasn't it?
I mean, you could do easily a full episode with each of those individuals. Fantastic.
Simfly, that stood out for me. Yeah,
Simfly. Daisy Chin,
Carla, and that was the secret.
To be honest, everybody, we could have gone straight into it. We're getting looked at by Jason. We are closing off Jason Gurney. Oh, are you going to throw someone else in?
No, he wants me to hear Michael, I love you.
Jason, we have been blown away by everyone that's come in. It's been fantastic.
Your members are awesome.
I know.
They are. What a story. Everyone... from Richard to Donna to Carver, we have been blown away.
Did you want to
about a steam train.
Yes,
dancing?
From Hillary. Yeah, yeah. Hillary, yeah.
Tell you what, with Hillary, with Tanfields, again, if you'd have said to me and Adam today, you're going to meet somebody who drove a steam train on the weekend, we'd have gone, nah, you're pulling out a leg, Jason. But
there we go. I wouldn't expect to find it at Dalton Business Club. That's the thing. But I think the point is, Hillary made a point of coming over to tell us about the experience that you can get in the Northeast. And I think that, for me, epitomises what the business club's all about. Because she hasn't come over to go, bye-bye VAT services. She's come over going, have you heard about this amazing thing that's going on in the region?
I'm just... You saying about Hillary with the steam trains and all that. I actually went with Darren yesterday to the Shield and Bus Company. So I saw one of the old Aidensfield Arms, buses in there. Anyway, I'm looking at it, and it's a little museum in Shildon and all that.
Yeah.
Everything's free, and you just put a donation, whatever you can afford. But me and Darren were there with these two guys that are really passionate about what they did, and he said, "So do you want to drive out in one of the buses now?"
No.
At which point I says, "If I'd known that earlier, I said, yeah." I said, "But I've left my missus at Siesta Coffee." And he went, "Should we pick her up on the way back?" Needless to say, we didn't do it. But it's like, do you know what?
Conductor cap.
Oh, they've got
the whole lot.
On the buses. "We'll get you back there. You're too young to know."
No, but I know what you're talking about. I think, it's been absolutely incredible. Thank you for hosting Take a Break. I appreciate it. We've been rabbiting on in the corner.
Allowing us to bring you in and all that. But we haven't finished with you yet, though, guys.
Oh, have you not?
Oh, no.
Because you've still got to do your talk out there.
Oh, we've got to do more talk in the flesh. Don't worry, people. We're not subjecting you to that.
Right, okay. But you finish off here, and I'm going to kick these off with our
college. Are we on next?
No, we've got the college talking about Darlington College, talking about what they've got on offer.
And we've heard about Darlington College today.
And then we have Thomas.
And then it is. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you very much indeed.
So we are going to leave you there for this episode of Take a Break
15.
Just with 15 people. Wow, that's amazing.
It felt like more, honestly. Yeah. I'm podcasted out.
Absolutely. But hopefully, we wanted to do something a bit different with this episode. And
I'd like to pick up on a word that you used on that there.
Yep.
The diversity of the guests that we've had today, from steam engines to sim flies to veterans to
to sewing.
It still amazes me, the diversity of businesses that we can get on a podcast.
Absolutely, and there's so many people doing some amazing things.
And hasn't everybody been wonderful?
They have.
Apart from that Michelle lady.
Michelle, don't say that about your wife. We're going to get her in. But we are going to finish on that note.
Okay.
But thank you, everybody, for listening along. Hope you've enjoyed it. Very different episode to the others. And we will see you back in the next episode.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.